And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them.
Well, good morning, everyone. And Merry Christmas. Must be Christmas. The preacher's got a tie on and a coat on. I do have my buddy the elf socks on, though. But we're glad that you're here with us this morning. If you're a guest with us this morning, thank you so much for being here. It's our honor to have you here with us. And pray that you'll enjoy the time of worship that we have together. And we just want to welcome you if you're a guest with us, especially this morning. Also, if you're a guest with us, if you have any questions about the church whatsoever, my email is andy@kccwired.com. And I would love to hear from you and have that dialogue with you. As well. But we're glad that you're here. If you haven't already, you can take the camera app on your phone and point it at the QR code either behind me or on the walls or on the signs on the seats at the end of your rows, and it'll bring up a virtual bulletin. It'll have the announcements for the day as well as the sermon outline and that kind of thing. So you're welcome to do that as well. We're going to do things a little bit differently today, all right? So just sit back and enjoy. There'll be times when we ask you to stand up and sing and times that you'll just get to sit and listen, and we'll kind of break the sermon up a little bit. The passage of Scripture that John read for us this morning is about the shepherds. I don't know how you can read that passage and not have a smile on your face thinking about the shepherds and just the joyous night that that must have been for them, and that's what we want to dive into today. So before we do so, let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for every Sunday, as each Sunday is a blessing to be able to get together and worship you and glorify you, our King of Kings. And I pray, Lord God, that you would receive our worship well, and that's the very best that we have to lay before you today. Now, Father, as we open up your word together, I pray that you would speak to us. Speak to us, help us to know what it is that you want us to take from this passage of Scripture and this time of year, and may we just hold it dear to our hearts as it's from you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So there's a couple of things that you need to know, and many of you already know these things, but it's important to what we're going to discuss today, but also just an important aspect of understanding Scripture, God's Word, the Bible, as a whole. Okay, your Bible is separated into two parts, right? We have the Old Testament and the New Testament. Some people say the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. That's another sermon for another day, but we have the Old Testament and the New Testament. At the beginning of your New Testament are four books: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we refer to them as the Gospels, right? The Gospels. Gospel is a Greek word that means what? Good news. Yeah, you didn't know you were going to come and there'd be a test today, did you? Yeah, it means good news. And so the Gospels are the good news of Jesus. So if you read all four of those Gospels, what you would read about is the birth, the life, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, right? And so that's what you would gain if you read all four of those books. Well, two of those books, Matthew and Luke, tell about the birth of Jesus into this world, right? Matthew is well known for telling the story of the wise men or the magi. We talked about that last week. And then Luke is known for his birth account, including discussing the shepherds that came to see baby Jesus. Now, there's a couple other things that I think are pretty fascinating as we read the birth story of Jesus in those two books. First of all, Matthew was an apostle. He was one of the 12. He got to walk and talk with Jesus. I mean, this is a guy that when he was writing stuff and we could read it, we could say, Matthew was there. Like, he got to observe, witness, see. He got to be in the middle of Jesus walking on the water and calming the storm and feeding 5,000. Matthew got to witness those things take place. And I would imagine that he also got to know Jesus' family pretty well. You ever have the boyfriend or the girlfriend come and meet you, and or maybe you get to meet their parents for the first time, and so you sit down and say, what were they like as a boy? What were they like as a little girl? Tell me some stories. Give me some dirt over what's happening. And can't you imagine Matthew doing that with Jesus' family? All right, tell us the real story of Jesus, right? What was he like as a kid? Come on. We know he's perfect now, but tell us about when he was a teenager, right? But Matthew got to experience and witness and watch all those things take place. Luke, on the other hand, Luke was not an apostle. He was not one of these inner circle of 12 that was walking and talking with Jesus being ministered to him. Now, there's some discrepancy as to when Luke was written. Some people say it was 80 AD, which would have put it some 50 years after Jesus' death. Other people, when you read the book of Luke and you kind of put the pieces together, would say, no, he probably wrote it sometime in the 60s, 60 AD, right? And he wrote two books. He wrote the book of Luke, but then he also wrote the book of Acts. And when you put all the evidence together, it would seem as though he wrote it in about 60, maybe 65 AD. But this is what Luke did. If you read the first few verses of Luke and the first few verses of Acts, what you would find is that Luke said, I set out to give an accurate account of the things that you've witnessed to his friend Theophilus. And so Luke was an investigative reporter. He was setting out to give an accurate account of Jesus, an accurate account of the first church for the book of Acts, to be able to tell his friend Theophilus about what took place. And I wonder, if he wrote his book in 60, 30 years after Jesus' death, I wonder if he actually got to talk to the shepherds. You wonder? I mean, the shepherds that got the message when they were out and watching their flocks by night and the angels appeared to them, I'm guessing that they were the teenage shepherds. I've worked in like a warehouse kind of setting before, and if there's one thing that seniority buys you, it's I get to set my schedule and I get to pick the job I want, right? Anybody been in that setting before? Yeah, that's what seniority does. Darren knows that. Seniority speaks, right? And so I'm confident that night when the angels came, that the shepherds that were there were not the 30-year veteran shepherd. I'm guessing it was low shepherd on the totem pole. It was probably the 15-year-olds, right? And so if I'm right, all right, we don't know. But if I'm right, we don't know how many there were. But if I'm right, they could have been in what? Maybe mid-70s when Luke was writing his account of the birth of Jesus. And maybe he got to talk to him. Maybe he went into Bethlehem and he said, hey, I'm just at a loss. I'm looking for, and this took place. Ah, you're looking for Sam. Sam was one of them. No, he wasn't. He was. Well, where does he live? Three houses down. And he goes and sits down with Sam. Says, Sam, tell me, you said, I was there. That's probably what he sounded like. I was there when it took place. Well, tell me about it. We were watching our flocks. We were watching our sheep. We were shepherds. That's what we did. And suddenly this angel showed up. He said, don't be afraid. I wasn't afraid. Two guys I was with, they were scared. They had to go change their clothes. I mean, they were done, right? I shouldn't have said that, sorry. They were scared, but I played it cool. I knew this could happen. I've heard stories, so I was all right. I heard the thing about Mary and Joseph. I knew angels could happen, so I was okay. What happened then? He said, hey, I got good news for you. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this night in the city of David a baby who's the Christ. And you're going to find him. He's wrapped in swaddling clothes, like a shepherd knew what that meant. Lying in a manger. Go check it out. It said in Luke 2:15, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. They simply received this simple message. One thing that we don't find from the shepherds are excuses. All right, who is it really? Harold, is that you? Get it? Hark the herald angels sing. I know I got one over on you last week. I know. Where's the lights? Come on, I know it's you. Or maybe they came to grips with it and said, we're going to go tell, we got to ponder this for a second. We need to find somebody to watch the sheep. We don't just leave sheep. We need to find somebody to check. We need to do those things before we don't hear that, do we? What we simply hear from the shepherds is, they simply received the message that the angels had, and they simply went. They simply received the simple message of the gospel. They simply received the simple message that great joy is here tonight. And it's in the form of a baby, and you're going to find them in a manger. They didn't stop to say, kings aren't born in mangers. I'm not buying this. They just received the simple message of the gospel. Now, some people would ask, why shepherds? I've asked that question, haven't you? Why shepherds? I mean, there's all kinds of occupations that an angel could have appeared to and said, hey, I've got good news. The Christ child is being born. Lots of different people could have been the first ones to receive that message. Why shepherds? Well, some people have said, well, shepherds are humble, kind of lowly people. It's not really the one that you send your kids off, oh, I hope my boy gets to be a shepherd someday. And Jesus came for the humble. Jesus came for the low in spirit, those that may struggle through life. That's who he came for. And so maybe that's why the shepherds. Well, maybe the shepherds, because some people have said that shepherds were actually kind of the dregs of society. Guys that were criminals, and this was their last chance. And so Jesus came for those that were hurting and lost and sinners. And so maybe that's why he came to shepherds. I think you throw all that aside. Because when you look at the history of the Bible, what do we find? God came to Abraham. What did Abraham do? He was a shepherd. God came to Moses. Said, I want you to lead my people out of Egypt to the promised land. What was Moses doing at the time? He was a shepherd. God said, I want you to go to Jesse's house. I want you to name the next king. Surely it's one of these. Nope. You got any more kids? Yeah. Where's he at? Out tending the sheep. David was a shepherd. Jesus said in John 10:11, what? I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I think he came to shepherds that night because he's the good shepherd. And everything that Jesus did seemed to have some kind of significance about who he was. Be it an analogy, a story, like a parable, whatever it was, it meant something. When Jesus came to the shepherds, where the angels came to the shepherds and said, go and see Jesus, they were going to see one of them, one of their own. They were going to see a shepherd, the one that would shepherd the people of Israel. They simply received the simple message of the gospel. If you're here today and you've not received the message of the gospel, it's a simple message. God created man. Man sinned, breaking our relationship with God. But God, in his love for us, sent his son Jesus into the world to die on the cross for our sins, so that we don't have to pay for our sins when all is said and done. We can live for him, with him, for all of eternity. That's the simple message of the gospel. And if you're here today and haven't received that yet, I'm offering it to you. Simply receive the simple message that God loves you. The worship team's going to come and sing. Actually, I'm sorry. Lonnie's going to come and sing. Daryl was humming this song a few weeks ago. I'm like, man, I forgot about that one. And I've been playing it like every day in my office, blasting it as loud as I could because I love this song. And I said, hey, you think Lonnie could come and sing this? And she sang it last year. And was like, I don't care. I'm having it sung every Christmas for until I die, right? This is an awesome song. And Lonnie's got a beautiful voice and able to let it ring for all of us to hear. And Debbie and Terry are going to join in with her. And so I just want you to listen to the words that say, come and see what God has done. It's a simple message. Will you simply receive it? Let's listen. Child is born. want to hear it every year too, don't you? Luke 2:16 says, "And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger." They went with haste. In other words, they simply left to simply find him. I don't know what that foot race looked like. We don't know how many of the shepherds that there were. I don't know if they threw their staff aside and maybe threw off a tunic or whatever. Maybe they kicked their shoes off. On a side note, my father-in-law, back in the 60s, was the cross-country coach for this big high school in East Tennessee. And he took him to the state championship, and he had told his runners that once upon a time in Indiana when he ran, or he had heard about a team running there barefoot in the state championship. And so his runners came to him and said, on that day, we want to run barefoot. So they got up there at the starting line. You can't even do this today, I don't think. And they're all barefoot, and the starter's looking at him like, you serious? And they went and won the state championship with. So there you go, with their shoes off. So maybe the shepherds kicked their sandals off. That's my point. I don't know. But they went with haste. They just heard this simple message that this baby was born who was going to come to save everyone. And they received that simple message and they simply just left. Again, there weren't excuses that they made as to why they shouldn't or why they couldn't or not sure everything that was happening was real, but they simply left to go find the baby. And they went with haste. They went quickly. When it comes to finding in the Bible, there's a series of parables in Luke chapter 15. The lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son, or the prodigal son. You familiar with these stories? In the parable of the lost sheep in Luke 15:4, Jesus said, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it?" You might say, "Well, Andy, Jesus wasn't lost. He wasn't a sinner that needed to be saved by somebody." No, he wasn't. But if you were an Israelite, at this time in our world's history, you had the thought that maybe God was lost. Your people hadn't heard from him for 400 years. No prophetic words that were shared. There were people that were following him. We know that because Mary was chosen to give birth to Jesus. But God was silent to the point the Israelites probably would have said, "We don't know where God is. We can't find him." Suddenly, an angel appears to some shepherds and they go with haste to find Jesus. They go to find the one who would become the sheep, the lamb that was sacrificed for their sins, that we could live for all of eternity. And they went to find also the one that was called the shepherd, that would shepherd their people, Israel. They left with haste to simply find him. The other picture, or image I have, that as they're running forward, as they're running through these trails, paths, whatever they are, that takes them from the pasture of watching their sheep to actually get to the manger where Jesus is that they're just running forward, and I'm guessing that they never ever looked back. Because anybody here that's ever run down a trail knows that if you look back, you're going to end up face planting, right? And I'm guessing that they just had their eyes straight forward, looking to Bethlehem, looking for the manger, and sprinting toward it to go see Jesus. We've had a rough year, haven't we? This pandemic has claimed the life of a friend, loved one. You may have some from other areas and cities that you've lost because of this pandemic. Schools, kids, man, trying to teach the kids online and kids trying to learn online and structure and discipline and all those things just out the window as we try to navigate through all of this. On top of that, we put in an election year where maybe I just have a short memory, but I can't imagine a time in my life where I've seen such disunity and polarization in our country as I see today. Neighbors and friends that are not friends because of an election. Man, it stinks. It's just awful. Kids not enjoying their senior year or sports and activities and bringing in community together, churches. I mean, look, we usually at Christmas Sunday have 500-600 people coming through here. We might get 120 today. All we look at and say, this pandemic is just wreaking havoc on us. This year has just been a bad year. I would say this, though. There have been some bright spots. We baptized 5-6 people. We had one couple, I didn't call them out because they were here first service, but they had never touched foot in this church before for anything church-related until we offered a Discover KCC class. They had been listening to me go on and on online and that kind of thing, and a few weeks ago I got to baptize Rick, and they joined the church. I had some other folks, the Dohertys, that owned Jack's Sports Shop. I baptized them early on in the pandemic. I got to marry 3 couples that were in my life group. That's pretty cool. I got to marry Lonnie. It might be a surprise. September, we're going to celebrate. In other words, ladies, if you have guys that are kind of, you know, not taking that motion, have them come see me. Apparently have some action that we can take place. So a lot of us are going to look back on 2020, and we are going to be glad to put it in our rearview mirror to look forward to 2021. But there are others that have some bright spots that took place during this time. My point is this. There's nothing in the gospel, nothing about our relationship with Jesus that says look back. It just says look forward. Paul said in Philippians 3, "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." I praise God that He doesn't look in my past or dwell in my past. I praise God that the gospel that He came to share and what He came to do in saving us was put something in front of us that we could just stay laser focused on what's in front of us. Because we know that as we do, the promise that comes with it is eternity. And all the things, even friends and family that were lost to 2020, those that are in Christ Jesus, we'll see again. And all the things that may have been lost or broken in 2020, we can leave behind as we press forward, straining for what lies ahead, which is the wonderful prize of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus said in Luke 9, verse 62, He was having a conversation about how challenging it was to be one of His disciples. The message is easy, accepting the message is easy, but as far as following Jesus, it can be a tough task, can't it? Persecution, valleys, temptations, all of these things. And Jesus is telling people how challenging it's going to be. And in verse 62, He said, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." In other words, if we're Christ followers, we're not of the kingdom of God if we're looking in our rearview mirror. We're just keeping our eyes forward. If the shepherds would have looked back, they would have tripped and fell. If the shepherds were pondering for too long the angels and what all had taken place without getting to where they were going, who knows what would have happened. But they simply listened to this simple message of the gospel and said, "We're going to go check it out." And they went with haste to do so. Our mission around here is helping people journey with Jesus. The first step is getting on that journey and hearing the simple message of the simple gospel and say, "Yes, I want to receive that." The next step is saying, "Am I simply going to run to Jesus?" Yes. Uh-oh, you are absolutely right. Some people trip and fall, and that's a big uh-oh. Are we going to run to Jesus? Are we going to have laser focus on who He is, the life that He laid out for us to live in honor and glory of Him, and be on a laser-focused beam to be like Jesus? Man, what a glorious night that probably was, don't you think? Shepherds got to see angels light up the sky, and then they went looking and with anxiety, and they're just running, and you know what Sam was saying? "Oh yeah, and I got there first. Those other guys were coming up behind me, but I got there first, man, and I saw it." And they just were there, and they just got to bow down and worship the Christ child. I want us to sing about that glorious night. So the worship team is going to step up and do that for us. I want you to stand. And on the count of three, I want you to clap your hands. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. I know you're in church, but there's going to be a clapping part. Pay attention and join in. And I want to hear you sing it. Here we go.
Don't worry, it's not hard. Let's go to
Luke chapter 2, verse 20 says, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them." They simply returned and they simply glorified. They simply returned and they simply glorified. I kind of wonder what the noise was as they headed back to their field, don't you? What that glorifying and praising actually sounded like or looked like. When people say to me that, you know, we're going to worship or we're going to have a night of worship, what's the first thing that comes to mind? We're going to sing, right? I mean, that's what I think of. We're going to sing. If somebody says, "Hey, let's go worship," I think of singing. We call this first part of our service every Sunday worship, the worship part, which is the singing part of it. And so that's what we get tied up to. But there are other ways to praise and glorify God, right? I mean, we read our Bible, we are praising and glorifying God. When we pray to Him, we are praising and glorifying God. When we serve someone, when we help someone, we're praising and glorifying God. All the aspects of our worship. We had communion earlier. Thank you, Doc. And when we had communion together, we were worshiping God. You drop your offering in the box later. That's praising and worshiping God. When we open up God's Word together, when we pray together, we're worshiping God. I wonder what it was like for the shepherds as they were running back. You wonder if they were like running like crazy men, flailing their arms all over the place. You wonder if they were kind of somber, like, can you just believe what we just saw? I don't know what we just saw. I don't know. What does that praising and glorifying look like? What caught my attention in this story in Luke chapter 2 was that if you go back to the beginning of the story, when the angels came, it said the angel appeared and what? The glory of God shone all around them. So they got to witness God's glory. And then when after they saw the Christ child, they did what? They went back praising and glorifying God. They returned the glory that God had shown to them when the angel came. And as they headed back, they're praising and worshiping. Maybe they were yelling all the way through town, you're not going to believe what we saw. I can't believe so. You better head up to the campfire. Man, we got some stories to tell. Come and join us. Or if they were just singing at the top of their lungs, whatever the angels had sang to them, I don't know. But man, what an amazing journey they took back as they just simply saw, they simply returned, and they simply worshiped and glorified God. In Luke 19, there's a picture that we have that I think is probably similar. In Luke chapter 19, Jesus is entering Jerusalem, and it'll be his death march. He's going into Jerusalem, and later that week, he will be crucified for our sins. And as he was coming in, he was riding a donkey. You remember the story? We call it Palm Sunday. And people are putting the palm branches right in front of the donkey as he's riding into town. And then they said, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." I wonder if that's what the shepherds were thinking as they were running back. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Glory to God in the highest, right? Maybe that's what it was. The psalmist in Psalm 95, we don't know who it was. He said this, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand." What does it look like when you worship? Is it singing? Is it reading? Is it being quiet before God? What does it look like when you worship? And what does it look like for you to worship in difficult times? As we've already said, 2020 has been a pretty awful year for many people. And we think, how can we worship God after a year like that? I mean, how many times have we not looked back and said, all right, something was missing, God. Something's not right about what just happened in this year. How do we worship at the end of that? Well, there's a story in 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12. It's a very well-known story, even among people that don't know the Bible. They've heard of this story. And it's the story of David and Bathsheba. And David had an adulterous affair with Bathsheba, this lady Bathsheba, and she became pregnant. And so to cover it up, David had her husband killed, sent to the front line so that he would be killed in battle. And the prophet Nathan came and he called David on it and said, "This is what you've done." And Nathan said, "Here's the consequences for what has happened. The baby that you and Bathsheba have conceived, when it's born, it will die." Well, David, upon having that news, and when the child was born, just prayed and fasted before God, hoping that God might change his mind. But it's not one of those stories. The baby died. In 2 Samuel 12:20, just the first two-thirds or so of that verse, says, "David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his clothes, and he went into the house of the Lord and worshipped." Even in difficult times, we can worship God. Even in the valleys when life is beating us up and jobs are hard to come by and we have more month at the end as opposed to our money at the end of the month. I didn't say that right, but you get what I'm saying. When we're in those moments of despair, we can still worship God. And why? Because He's still God. He still sits on His throne. And He still sent His Son into the world to save us of our sins. We've been talking about this whole idea of being overshadowed and how the power of the Most High overshadowed Mary, and what it would look like for us to be in the shadow of the power of the Most High this Christmas. That the shadow of the world, the shadow of a pandemic, the shadow of an election, the shadow of despair, the shadow of mourning, all these different things just want to weigh over us and just hold us down and keep us down. But the shadow of the power of the Most High is waiting for us to step into it so that we can feel God's presence, hear His voice, and proceed in life toward the prize, which is eternal life with Him. The simple message of the simple gospel. We're asked to hear it, receive it, believe it, run toward it, and then return praising and glorifying the God who sent it. Let's step into that shadow. We're going to sing one more song before we wrap things up, and then we'll sing some more Christmas carols at the end. And I asked Debbie if she would lead this one because she's sung it before. And the words of this song are the gospel. It's the gospel message. So will you stand and simply sing the simple message of the gospel for all to hear?
Yeah.
give our worship band a big hand this morning. I appreciate them and the talent that they have to be able to bring worship in song for us every week. And so I appreciate the hard work and the efforts there. So Daryl and team, thank you very much. This concludes our service, We're going to sing some Christmas carols here in a minute. But as far as some announcements go, the youth group is having their Christmas party tonight. So at 6:30, middle schoolers and high schoolers come to the lower level for the Christmas party. Have a good time then. Our Christmas Eve service this year is virtual, and we put together a lot of fun elements. Tim has been working hard. I've got him working on like 50 different video elements right now, and not just for Christmas Eve. I mean, across all kinds of stuff going on. But Tim has done an awesome job putting this together, and we're really excited about it and looking forward to it. So tune in at 7 p.m. on Christmas Eve. On Facebook, on YouTube, KCC Wired. If you don't have something to watch it on, find a friend that does, use your smartphone, whatever, because we're going to have a lot of fun that evening with our Christmas Eve service. And the end of the year challenge that we have, giving challenge we have, is for the baby pantry. Appropriate, we're celebrating a baby, and now we're going to give to the baby pantry. And so if you want to give a size 5 and 6 diapers, 2T, 3T, and 4T clothing, or any financial gifts that you'd like to give to the baby pantry, just make those checks payable to the Kalkaska Baby Pantry. And there's a little jar out there you can put money in for that. They do a great work. They're open the second and fourth Tuesdays of every month. And families that come that may have a difficult time getting diapers and clothes and that kind of stuff for their kids are able to come. And so we have a lot of volunteers from our church that work with them. We donate the space down below. Kim Stevens, who's part of our church, leads that charge. And like I said, many volunteers are a separate entity, but we kind of, they're ours, right? We own them, right? We love them. We want them here. So anyway, we just want to bless them. So any stuff you want to give to them, they would appreciate. And we'll just keep that ministry going and be a partner with them in that. So we appreciate that. We also have the Serenity Vigil. Is that tomorrow night, I believe? Wes was saying at 7 o'clock, is it the 6:30? That's what we meant, right, Wes? 6:30, and it's the Serenity Vigil Facebook page, right? Live on Facebook, okay? So you can watch it. The Serenity Vigil, they start doing every year to remember those that lost their battle with addictions, but also to encourage those that are in the middle of trying to fight addiction. So if you want to tune into that, they would we would appreciate that as well, okay? This is usually the part of our service where we have our offering time, and we're not passing anything. So as you leave, we do have offering boxes in either corner. If you want to worship by way of giving, you're welcome to do so. You can give online at kccwired.com. You can text the amount you want to give to 84321, or you can send your tithes and offerings to P.O. Box 757, Kalkaska, Michigan, 49646. Again, Merry Christmas. I love you guys. Thank you so much for coming. I'm going to close us in prayer, and the worship team is going to lead us in a couple more Christmas carols with a little surprise kick at the end. All right, here we go. Father, thank you so much for the blessings that you pour out on us every single day, Lord God. And Father, for those that have come prepared to give by way of offerings, tithes and offerings, we pray that you would bless those that are giving, worshiping in that way, and that you would bless those gifts, that we as a church would be wise and prudent about how we spend those monies for ministry here and around the world. Father, we thank you for this morning, that we could just celebrate Jesus being born into the world. And Father, may we take that simple message of the simple gospel to the world, and so that more and more people will come to know who you are and run to you. And run to you, praising and rejoicing along the way for what you did for us through Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. All right, let's sing.